I'm Sean Owen. I'm here at the International Conference of Virtual Patients in Krakow in Poland. I'm here with Dr. David Davis from Warwick University. Dr. Davis gave a presentation today about a needs analysis for virtual patients, a report from the EVIT programme. First of all, can you tell us a little bit about the rationale behind this study and what these early findings told us?
Yes, thanks, Sean. Well, working in the EVIT programme, because we're creating virtual patients that we hope to be able to share with the wider community, we felt it was important to know exactly what that community are currently feeling about virtual patients. Are they using them? If they weren't using them, what are some of the perceived barriers? What are the educational strategies that they think virtual patients might be appropriate for? And we thought the only way in which we can find that out was to ask them. So we set up this survey.
So from this survey, you had 216 responses from 156 institutions, and these were from across Europe, the USA, Asia and Australia. So that's quite impressive.
Yeah, well, we're very pleased. Of course, you never know when you issue a survey who's going to reply. But I think the range of different institutions, the 156 that you mentioned, and the fact that we got four main continents, I think gives some legitimacy to the data that we've collected. So we're very pleased.
And what were the key findings?
Well, we set out to achieve two broad aims, really. The first was to find out what the current uses of virtual patients were, and the second was to find out, even with those who are, but particularly those who are not currently using virtual patients, where do they think in their curriculums VPs will be most appropriate? On what basis should they be available, for example, free of charge, if they're prepared to pay an amount of money, how much money?
And did the survey results throw up any surprises?
No surprises in that nothing we hadn't already experienced ourselves, but I think it was a good ratification of some of our views, particularly, for example, in two important areas. One is we asked people what overall educational strategies are best suited to virtual patients. From the experience of the partners within EVIT, we guessed this might be problem-based learning and those kinds of independent learning, and that came out quite strongly from the survey. So that was good to find that we were not some kind of special group that had our own unique view. And the second, because we represented quite a wide range of subject experts, that we asked the survey respondents which subject areas are best suited to virtual patients. And again, the overwhelming feedback we got was there's no one particular area that's any better than the other. And that's good, because it kind of implies that virtual patients can be used anywhere in the curriculum.
One of the interesting results that you mentioned in your presentation was that around 60% of the respondents hadn't evaluated their virtual patients. What were your thoughts on this?
Well, this was definitely a theme that was picked up in the early day, the first day of this International Virtual Patients Conference, that although VPs have been around as an educational tool for 4 or 5 years now, perhaps a little longer in some cases, that they're, perhaps it's fair to say, they lack the kind of educational rigour of being evaluated where we can demonstrate the impact that they've been having. And so we asked in our survey, have you evaluated your virtual patients? And you're right, more than half have freely admitted that they haven't. That's not a huge cause for concern, but I think it does show that in the future going forward, we need to take more of an educational research view on this and get more rigorous evaluation.
The EVIT programme has an evaluation toolkit, does it not?
Well, that's right. And one of the ways in which we think as an EVIT programme we can help people is not only by giving them content, but giving them some of the tools to make the best use of that content. So you mentioned evaluation. We've developed an evaluation toolkit. So if you're new to educational evaluation, don't know quite where to get started, by all means take a look at our website, virtualpatients.eu, and download the toolkit. Similarly, we've produced some guides for repurposing. So by repurposing, we mean adding value to existing virtual patients or perhaps localising them to your own language and context. Again, we've produced some guides and a toolkit for how you might do that in your country, in your medical school.
Surprisingly, some people admitted to not considering using virtual patients at all. This was a small percentage because a vast majority of people in the survey would. How would you address this, though?
Yes, you're quite right. We found overwhelmingly it was about 85 or 90% were very happy to adopt, if not now, it's certainly in the future, a virtual patient approach. But there was still, a number that need to be taken account of who would not like to. And some of the general comments we got there is they felt that virtual patients aren't really a valid substitution for the real thing, and they lack the kind of spontaneity of a real patient. And I think there's something in there, actually. The virtual patient approach, as we currently understand it, at least most schools, is a kind of a two-dimensional, sure, it's web-based, and yes, it's interactive, but it's not virtual in the sense that some people might have in their mind of like a 3D moving, walking, talking patient. The current generation of virtual patients are not trying to emulate that, but I think in the future, particularly as software technology improves, then we may indeed see more of that, and that might help some of those people who are still a little sceptical.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly been some of the messages which I've taken from a lot of the presentation, is that the feedback which people have been receiving is it could be more realistic. That might be an issue, but that is something to consider in the future.
I think there's certainly very much a buzz around this first international conference. It's been very successful because it's allowed people to show and tell the approaches they're taken. And there are people out there who are working on the cutting edge. We saw some presentations earlier today about artificial intelligence approaches, where the computer itself starts to act with a little bit of autonomy. Yes, of course, governed by some pre-programmed rules, but it's not just like reading off a script. And I think that addresses some of the concerns about spontaneity, for example.
So coming back to the survey, how do you take the results of the key findings forward in your research?
Well, this survey has been very important for the EVIT program because we're now just a little way over halfway through our work. And we're going to use the evidence that we've gathered from this first survey to further think and reflect on our own business models and commercial models for making our virtual patients available. Although we would aspire to making the patients themselves free at the point of use, there's, of course, always cost associated with producing these. So we need to look realistically about how those costs can be recovered. And it's going to force us to come up with some innovative licensing models, for example.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.